The FAA announces new targeted staffing levels, and the Controllers Union responds. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Lately, when the National Air Traffic Controllers Association has compared traditional facility staffing minimums to current staffing levels, the FAA has reminded us that those old numbers are no longer considered official or valid. Up to now, the FAA has provided no new set of numbers to take their place, but that has changed. On Wednesday, the FAA released new staffing targets expressed as ranges. Predictably, the agency says they better reflect reality. Just as predictably, the union says FAA is adjusting the numbers down to match recruitment levels, not real needs. We wanted to bring you official comment from both sides of the issue. We're going to start by welcoming FAA spokesperson Diane Spitaleri. Diane, thanks for taking a few minutes out to speak to our listeners today.
Sure.
The FAA is out today with a new set of numbers for minimum staffing levels at air traffic control facilities around the country, and they look lower in many cases than what the old numbers were. That's drawn criticism that they're an attempt at defining down the standards to whatever the current performance is, or that they're budget-driven. The FAA, on the other hand, says that they're made possible by increased productivity at facilities. Can you tell us how the FAA defines productivity in this case?
It's a lot of things. It's how to run a facility more efficiently. It's better management of overtime, better management of schedules, and it's just managing the controllers in a way that's just more efficient. But a big part of these staffing ranges is basically it's staffing to the current level of traffic at an individual facility. I mean, that's what this is all about. Previously, that was not done. And the levels vary from facility to facility depending on what's going on. So we feel like this is a very good, accurate prediction of what the traffic will be, and we're going to staff it to that traffic.
Diane, when the FAA went before Congress to introduce its reauthorization proposal, it looked ahead and cited dramatic increases in the demands placed on the air traffic control system looking ahead. How can this be reconciled then with these new staffing numbers, which appear to propose significant reductions in minimum staffing levels at some pretty busy facilities?
Well, I mean, we took into consideration when the staffing report was done, we took into consideration those predictions of the rise in traffic. That was definitely taken into consideration. But the reason we have a range is because different things go on at different facilities. If an airline pulls out at a particular airport, that's going to affect the traffic, which will have an effect on the staffing. And that's the reason why we established these ranges, and we think this is the best way to do it. We put a lot of time and effort into this and did a lot of studies before we came up with these numbers, and we're confident that this is the way to go.
Diane, one of the facilities that NATCA likes to quote as an example is Atlanta Hartsfield, the world's busiest tower, where the old numbers called for 55 controllers. The new range is 39 to 47. There are 34 fully trained controllers there now, and 9 of those are expected to retire this year. Are even these new numbers going to represent a challenge for the FAA to meet?
No, I mean, the plan takes all that into consideration, and we acknowledge that Atlanta is one of the facilities that we'd like to work on the staffing, and we're doing that. But that's the whole reason we feel this plan is going to work, is because all these things were taken into consideration. We know where we have to ramp up on staffing, and Atlanta is one of them. However, in the meantime, we feel that traffic is being ran in a safe manner at that facility and all the facilities, and they will continue to with the use of overtime and other procedures at those facilities. But we acknowledge, yes, we do want to ramp up staffing at that facility.
The FAA's retirement numbers, projections, have turned out to be less than credible the last couple of years. The last 3 years for which we have complete year numbers have shown retirements above what projections were. The current fiscal year, which started in October, so far there have been 351 retirements, which is a pace to do over 800 this year. Is there any adjustment process going on at the FAA?
We acknowledge that as we've gone through this process, this is the third report that's been issued. This is an annual report that's issued on staffing. And we acknowledge, as we've gone through this process, we have had significant improvements in the way we do our predictions. And there were shortages the last couple of years. We would acknowledge that. We feel for this fiscal year we are on track because of the way we've improved the system on how we make these predictions. And we feel confident now that we are on track with those predictions.
In terms of the staffing levels, your press release mentions new automated tools in helping you more effectively staff facilities. Can you tell me exactly what those automated procedures or tools are?
The we've established simulators in a couple of our facilities. There's also, we have simulators at our FAA Academy in Oklahoma City, and we are seeing significant improvements in the amount of time it takes to do training now, and we anticipate that it's only going to get better.
Has the environment, in terms of the relationship with the controllers, deteriorated to a point where it makes resolving some of the remaining issues difficult?
No, we feel like we have a very professional controller workforce, and we feel that we are adequately staffing those facilities, and we feel that they're professionals, and they are doing their jobs in a safe manner, and we feel confident in what we're doing.
But Diane, I know you have a really busy job, especially on a day when the FAA puts out a press release like this. Thanks for making a few minutes to talk to our listeners today on Aero News.
You're quite welcome.
Our guest has been FAA spokesperson Diane Spitaleri. In a moment, we'll return with another perspective from Doug Church of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. This AeroCast is brought to you by Aircraft Engine Services, makers of the aluminum V220 and V300T engines.
How up-to-date is your aircraft engine? Automotive engineering has advanced so much over the past 30 years that you almost never have to raise the hood. Why can't an airplane engine be just as simple and just as reliable? Now it can. Check out the new V220 and V300T from Aircraft Engine Services. The all-aluminum construction of the V220 and V300T gives these engines the best power-to-weight ratio in their class. Earlier aluminum block engines suffered from excessive wear unless they were protected with heavy steel cylinder liners. In the V220 and V300T, each cylinder bore is surface-coated with Nicosil, an electro-deposited nickel coating containing hard silicone carbide particles. The benefits of a better power-to-weight ratio include increased range and higher useful loads, with less of a trade-off between fuel capacity and passenger or cargo carrying capacity. The AES V220 and V300T, as simple as a car's engine, but oh so much more fun to drive. Check us out on the web at VAircraftEngine.com or call us at 321-268-3718. Aircraft Engine Services, the shape of things to come.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to our Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plagg. The FAA says its new staffing ranges more accurately reflect the traffic levels and demands on its facilities than an older set of numbers that are still sometimes quoted. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association sees it differently. To get the union's reaction to the FAA announcement, we're here with Doug Church, spokesman for NATCA. Doug, thanks for making some room on your schedule for us today.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
The FAA announced a plan to hire air traffic controllers over the next 10 years, and in it, the agency offers some numbers which I think have been missing from the argument for a while. There are some staffing recommended levels that you guys have quoted for a couple of years now that the FAA has said were obsolete, and apparently, if I understand correctly, the FAA is now out with a new list of staffing standards which it intends to replace those older numbers. Is that the way I read this correctly?
You're right. They've thrown out the old numbers, discounting the fact that they were based upon traffic. They were based upon what was needed to safely staff every facility. They've thrown those out because they haven't been able to reach them. They have been losing controllers for three straight years. We are 1,100 controllers below where we were in September of 2003. So instead of acknowledging that crisis, planning ahead for that crisis, taking care of that crisis, they've now cooked the books. They've dumbed down their numbers. they've determined that whatever amount of controllers are at these facilities today fits within a new range, which, by the way, the FAA authored. They have now changed the math to determine that safe staffing is now whatever staffing is currently. It's not based on traffic. It's not based on what's safe out there, because I'll tell you, the reality is this. We are understaffed. We are tired. We're stressed out. We're stretched to the breaking point. No amount of FAA spin today is going to change that reality.
Now, one of the things the FAA says it considered in coming up with this new set of numbers, past performance, the performance of similar air traffic facilities, productivity improvements. Now, in an industrial sense, or in a sense of how productivity is reported in economic terms, that simply means getting more production out of the same number of employees or the same number of dollars spent on employees.
They're overworking controllers. They imposed work rules on controllers last Labor Day. That means they're forcing controllers to work longer hours on position at a time. 2 hours is the cutoff point. That was the long-established 30-year-old rule that no controller should ever work more than 2 hours on position. It's not safe. You got to get away from it. It's high stress. It's high stakes, high intensity, high focus. You got to get a break for a half hour, 20 minutes, get a cup of coffee, stretch your legs, then come back and do it again over the course of an eight-hour shift. Now they've done away with that unilaterally against our will and are forcing controllers to work several hours on position without a break. They're also forcing controllers to work mandatory overtime. This starts at the highest levels of the facilities. The busiest tower in the world is Atlanta Tower in Atlanta Hartsfield. They are forcing controllers to work mandatory, six-day weeks. Some controllers are forced to work 10-hour days. They only have 34 controllers fully trained, fully certified at Atlanta. They should have 55. Today, they dumbed down the range for Atlanta, so they're able to say, by just cooking the books, oh, look at that, we're fully staffed. It's not based in reality. It's not based on safety. And they're cutting the margin of safety at Atlanta to a razor-thin level. They had an incident in Atlanta on January 10th where a controller who had worked six straight six-day weeks was tired, showed up for work, plugged in on position, and mistakenly cleared an aircraft to take off on a runway that had been designated as landing. There were planes incoming into Hartsfield. The controller caught the mistake at the last minute before the plane could take off. He squealed on his brakes. It was ugly. It could have been disastrous. It was caused by a tired controller. This is the cumulative effect of overworking your controllers. This is not productivity improvement. This is jailhouse work rules.
Now, one of the things the FAA cites as having gone into the input for these new numbers is input from field managers. Is that the folks who supervise your members
right.
at the individual locations?
They did not talk to the people who run the air traffic control system. They talked to managers and supervisors. The frontline controllers who work every day, and there are fewer of them than ever before, they did not talk to them, not one of them.
Okay.
So how could you say these are what you should be staffing without talking to people who do the work? How could you leave us out of that process? It makes no sense. It invalidates everything they came up with today.
They also quote looks at overtime trends, time on position data, and expected retirements, which, if I hear you correctly, those things... first of all, expected retirements, they've undershot at least 3 years in a row.
Three straight years, and we're on track for number four this year.
Okay, now, overtime trends and time on position data would both seem to suggest that unless they're targeting increasing those as, quote, productivity improvements, unquote, those would seem to indicate that their numbers are low.
Yeah, well, if you're fully staffed, why do you need overtime? Why are you forcing controllers to work overtime if you're fully staffed?
Right.
I mean, it's a basic question.
Okay, now one of the things they say has made significant progress in effectively staffing facilities is new automated tools. What new automated tools are they talking about?
I have no idea. We have not seen them. There are no. They have not modernized the system. They have not added anything. They've taken away tools. They've delayed implementing new pieces of technology. Under Jane Garvey, on the five-year period under her watch, the FAA implemented more new technology and equipment and procedures than the previous 25 years of the FAA. We haven't seen the current administrator build on that success. They have whittled away the amount of money that they ask every year for Congress for modernization and technology. We have not seen new tools. We have not seen new procedures. They don't talk to us about them. They don't include them. There is no collaboration. There is no discussion. I would like to know what piece of technology they put inside an air traffic control facility that somehow automates the system and relieves the burden from needing as many controllers as we need. It just doesn't exist.
Look ahead for me, Doug, to 2007 and beyond in terms of retirement. Now, I think if I recall correctly, NACA's projections showed another year of a fiscal year of being ahead of FAA projections for retirement. Is that right?
That's right. As of February 15th, we had counted 351 total retirements, controlled retirements, since the beginning of the current fiscal year, which began last October. The projection for the entire year from the FAA is 643 for the entire fiscal year. So we're not even to the midway point of the fiscal year, and we're ahead of that projection. That is worrisome. We know that more and more controllers are retiring every month as they become available. I mean, some of these busy facilities, let me rattle off some of them. Chicago Tracon, 45% of the 77 fully trained controllers on staff there, that's 35, are eligible to retire this year. We know that a majority of them are going to leave because they have no incentive to stay. The FAA imposed work rules and pay bans on these controllers. They're not getting a raise for the next 5 years of this, these imposed work rules. Why would you want to stick around and get your head kicked in, overworked, no raise? They don't even get the cost of living adjustment every year that you do get if you retired. They're forcing controllers out. There's no incentive to stay. So these people are retiring. They're taking their advantage of their ability to say, enough, I'm not putting up with this anymore.
The FAA says expansion in the capacity of training facilities and also some different procedures are going to enable them to get people up to the fully certified level more quickly, in some cases 2 years. Is that
not true? The average time to train at a facility is 3 years. There are no automated ways of training controllers aside from the tower environment. They do have automated simulators for tower. They don't have them for radar. The vast majority of controllers work in radar. So it's not true to say that they have sped up training for all controllers, only a small minority of them.
Doug, let me ask you a question that gets to the heart of everything you guys do publicly, really, and that's this. Is the sometimes bitter back and forth with the FAA leading to an environment in which a resolution to these issues is going to be hard to achieve?
It very well may be. This is an FAA now that has punished controllers. They have imposed work rules and pay rules. These are jailhouse work rules. They don't allow controllers to leave the facility on a break to get a cup of coffee without taking vacation time. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about. They're forcing us to work sick. They won't give us a contract. They won't staff our facilities. They won't include us in discussions about airspace redesign or about implementing new technology. They won't even talk to us about the staffing plan they released today. We didn't even get it until after reporters started killing us in onto the website. This is not the way you treat your employees. It's not the way to run a safe system. And it's certainly not the way, you know, to maintain an adequate margin of safety and keep the United States as the world leader in air traffic control. Certainly, the controllers that we represent are going to continue to do everything they possibly can to maintain safety. The ramifications of understaffing is felt mostly in efficiency and delays. We know that we're having more delays at the en route level because of staffing and not enough positions being open. So we want to assure people that we're going to continue to maintain safety as best we can, but we need the tools to do that, and we need the extra layer and margin of safety and redundancy.
Doug Church is a spokesman for the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. Doug, we really appreciate your being with us today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. On the web, you'll find us at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.